Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. And this is where we'll hang out mostly here. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Father, we thank you for your word, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, you, God, your God, the Trinity, God, three in one. Father, we pray this morning, God, that you would reach out into our hearts, God, and speak directly to us, God. Please empower this time, Lord, that we would be able to receive from the Holy Spirit. Touch us, Lord, please. We need a baptism. I need it, God. Jesus Christ in our life, God. We need it, God. Cleanse us, Lord. Help us this morning. Give us understanding of what your will is, God. Help us to be wise, Lord. Teach us this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks. So good morning on this March Sunday morning. Hopefully you were able to, you know, change your clocks. That's kind of an old saying, clocks. It doesn't even sound right anymore, right? I feel weird saying a clock. What is it called? It's called a cell phone, right? I mean, I know. It's like, man, I got no excuse. It just changes on its own. Just set your alarm, it'll change, you know. You still could set it. That's what I did. Man, no excuse. So this morning we're going to look at some of these verses. The book of Ephesians, it's always good in any book in the Bible. It's always good to understand context. We know that. It's very good to read it and try to grasp what God is saying within the context. So something here that God showed me, not really in this verse specifically, but he was showing me in my heart recently, I don't know, for the past couple weeks, that I tend to, and I believe this applies to probably everyone in general, but as born-again Christian for me, I titled this, and I don't really go with titles a lot, or you want to theme this, I put, be wise, don't waste time. And underneath that, understand the will of the Lord. So I tend to myself as a Christian, just so you guys know, I'm praising the Lord for this. I just celebrated like 2 weeks ago that I was saved, you know, for 10 years. So a whole decade. Praise the Lord, you know. So thank God. Yeah. So, but because of that, I was reminded of some things, and, you know, I got to speak with one of my friends that I went through in the program. I actually sort of mentored him we call ourselves mentors, because those who went through a program, they stay on staff if they choose to. They get to, you know, new people that come in, you know, they get someone. Hey, you know, we'll put you with this guy and everything. So you get a group of guys. You know, for the women, they get a group of girls, maybe one or two, sometimes five. And the person that was there in the program gets to help, you know, the other person. So I had many people that were there, and one of the guys, his name was Paul Burke. He's doing really good right now. I got to speak to him. He's actually preaching. He's going to be, he's doing really well. So I talked to him, you know, when I called him at first, because I was calling him about helping someone to get into a program, Teen Challenge, you know. And I know when he answered the phone, he was like, Pat? And I'm like, I know what that voice sounds like. He's like, nah, I didn't tell him, but, you know, I wanted to help him to see that. I'm doing good, man, you know, because those phone calls are usually, I need help again, you know. And so we talked, and it was great. He's like, oh, God's blessing me. And so I got to talk to him. But he shared some things about the people that I've known there, and we both knew, and I, you know, was there serving and working. We had jobs, and two of the guys that I know, especially one, Paul told me that, you know, they buried two. I was like, wow, you know. And so thinking about just, you know, God and his beautiful work that he does in people's lives, and thinking about, you know, the guys that many too, it was just two that he named, but he told me others too. But I was just kind of sad, you know. And then my dad recently passed away in December. And so this is what just the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about, not found really, now it's found in this scripture, he helped me to see, but just kind of meditating on just life, you know, and life as a Christian. And so I just felt like the Lord's kind of just been speaking to me about, you know, don't waste time. And I tend to, maybe you're the same way, I don't know, to spend a lot of time on maybe thinking about things and or doing certain things, just really wasting time. And I might be thinking that I'm actually trying to save time, but a lot of times I tend to waste time trying to save time. I don't know if that makes sense, but God actually showed me that. And so your thought life, and, you know, maybe not thinking of, oh, your sin, you know, but just being as a Christian, you're sort of wasting your time on the wrong thoughts or the wrong things maybe that you're doing as a Christian. And it's Christian, you know, we label it Christian. I'm not saying it's wrong, that it's so sinful. But I thought about this, and that God just showed me that you tend to, you know, in a good way, you tend to waste a lot of time. And I'm one, I hate wasting time. You know, I have a hatred for that. You know, I really do. I don't like wasting time. And so, but by that thought, I think that's kind of my, it could be a gift, but it sort of becomes something that it's to my, you know, failure sometimes, because, you know, I focus so much on that. So God showed me this, and I was just praying, you know, just for Friday, when Drew shared that he was leaving, just praying on it and, you know, asking the Lord. He kind of led me to this verse, these verses. So the context we know is that in verse 5, I do want to point this, I mean, verse 1 in chapter 5, you know, the book of Ephesians lumped up chapters 1, 2, and 3, a sort of a teaching in general, you know, the unity of the church, you know, the Jew and the Gentile, you know, the middle wall separation, you're saved by grace, you know, God can do this abundant work. And then he gets to chapter 4, and he starts teaching about, Paul does, he starts teaching about the unity of the body, the unity of the church, and what the church is actually supposed to be doing, you know, gifts, the spiritual gifts. And then he gets a little bit more specific as he goes through chapter 4, and he gets to a place in verse 25 in chapter 4, and you guys probably know this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he starts to tell the born-again Christians, the people there, out of maturity, really. And a lot of people say that this is a mature, you know, letter to a mature church. The book of the church at Ephesus is found pretty much a lot of times in the New Testament. You find it in Acts, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Timothy, even in Revelation. So it was a popular church. Maybe not so much a mega church, but it was a popular church. And so people, a lot of people hold to that it was a mature church, so Paul was able to really, you know, really minister here. It doesn't seem like it's more corrective. It's just more encouragement, and here's what you need to do. And then he gets to chapter 4, 5, and 6, and it seems like more like Christian application. You know, that's what it seems like. And so chapter 4, verse 25, he tells them, you know, putting away lying, you know, stop speaking lies, you know, forgive one another. Don't go to, you know, don't let the sun go down in your anger. You know, grow up. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. You know, don't, you know, let that corrupt word, you know, those are powerful words. Don't speak, you know, destruction to people. You know, speak grace to people. And then verse 32 is, I think, is almost the most powerful scripture for Christianity in its application. He says this in verse 32 in chapter 4. He says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. I have to be honest, that's very hard for me to be tenderhearted. I need the Holy Spirit. So tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And here's where it's at. Even as God in Christ forgave you. That has to, in a born-again Christian, that has to just really, really get you. It says, even as God, it's talking about God the Father, in Christ forgave you. And then he gets to chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, because of everything that's been stated, as you're a mature Christian, you're growing, you're cutting the language out, not so much just the cursing, so to speak, but the destruction that you may exchange to people, you know, the things that you say, you know, putting them down. You know, in the book of Corinthians at the end, 2 Corinthians 16, I believe, the end of those two letters, Paul's like rebuking him through the letters. And then he says, I say this not to your destruction. I say this, you know, for your edification. You're like, wait, you just ripped through me, you know. But Paul had this love, and that we're going to share right here in verse 1. So chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Oh, man, when I was studying this, I read this, obviously, plenty of times. I just got a sense of, wow, okay, God, you're doing something. Because Drew's been teaching, you know, recently, you guys, I'm sure, are so familiar with healing, right? I mean, you heard that word how many times? At least close to 100, right? That's good, though. It sticks with us, you know, healing. And I talked to him on the phone. He's like, keep healing, you know, like, you got to say it. You know, then in the email, healing, you know, I'm like, wow. But it's good because actually through this process, I got to confess to you all that I thought I didn't need healing, you know, in some way. And God's been doing some work in my life. He's been changing me through, you know, the messages and just really processing things. So I'm really touched by the Holy Spirit and He's answering prayers. But I come to verse 1 just to get the context. And it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitators of God. Imitators of God. That word imitator, it's in the Greek, you probably heard this. It pretty much, we can say, it means mimic. Now, when you think of mimic, that doesn't sound that positive, though, correct? Right? It's just, you look it up in like a regular Google search or something, it's pretty negative, you know, mimic. I don't really like that word. But here, Paul's not really saying it how we view it this day, you know, this day and age. That's where we get that word from, mimic, or you could say copy. But really, what Paul is really saying, it's translated really, follower or followers. So be followers or follow God. That's pretty much it. So imitate God, mimic God, you know, copy what Jesus Christ does. Look at verse 32 in chapter 4. Even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what you need to do. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I truly, as a Christian, I truly have a lot of problems with, you know, tender-hearted and just being soft, you know, and understanding, you know, people and sort of coming to that level with others. So God's teaching me this right now. But the Bible says be imitators. Copy what Jesus, who he is. Copy God, the Father. He sent his Son. A tender heart, loving, you know, us as sinners, a mess. But this is what he did. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. I like that word, dear. If you look it up, it just means beloved. Again, as Drew been sharing, what's the thing that, let me do a little test here. What has Drew been really specifically, really just in just hitting us with? Well, the Holy Spirit really is this, these three things. Can anyone remember? Come on, students. Yeah, exactly. So we belong, we're loved, and this positive affirmation. And I looked up this word, beloved, and it reminded me of the scripture that he's been looking at in Matthew, I think it's in Luke 2, that, you know, God the Father says to Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So in the same way, he's saying, Paul, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, as loved children, loved by the Father, loved by the Father. That's how we need to imitate. We're loved by God. So we need to dish out that love. But imitate God as you're a loved child by God the Father. That might be hard for some of us. In John 17:23, he said, Jesus says this, I in them, he's speaking and praying to God, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and look at this says, and have loved them as you have loved me. So it's not just Jesus being loved by the Father, it's the Father loving Jesus and loving us as well. So therefore, be, you know, mimic and copy, you know, God and walk in your life as a loved child of God. I'm loved. I'm loved by God. I still have problems here and that. I'm loved by God. And I need to heal in that. I think that that is part of my healing. I think it's just the Holy Spirit for the church. And, you know, a lot of people, we may not want to, you know, because we have pride in our hearts, you know, sorry, I just speak my own heart. We don't want to receive this kind of love, maybe. We try to protect ourselves somehow. I don't know. But the Bible teaches that we need to mimic God. This is who he is. He's a loving God. He's a loving God. So this is the context for a lot of these verses. A lot of Christians, and I'm seriously guilty of taking a lot of these verses here, especially some later on, you know, don't have fellowship with darkness and, you know, expose it, you know, and we get so, you know, pharisaical, like, you know, and so harsh. But the Bible teaches us here in verse 32, you got to begin here. You got to be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. So the context is not so much go and, you know, expose this sin because you're so righteous, you know, point the finger and those kinds of things. No, he's saying imitate God as loved children, beloved, dear, dear children. And in verse 2, he says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So just to the context, is clear that he begins at least, you know, this wasn't for Ephesians or any in the Bible. There wasn't chapter and verses, obviously. It was just scrolls. But he begins here, therefore, in verse 1, to help us to begin something here, imitate God. Okay, don't imitate these other things like fornication, filthiness, coarse jesting. But we can sit there as Christians and just point those out instead of knowing our duty. What is my duty? Knowing all this, what is my duty? And remember, it's to a mature church. Ephesians, Ephesus, they were mature Christians. And whether you're, like I say, you're immature, whether you're just new in the Lord or a veteran in the Lord, these things still apply because Some could be saved for a year, 2 years, and get more out of someone that's been saved for maybe 15, 20 years. I don't know. And something that God's teaching me also is to have a soft heart. You know, have a soft heart towards Him. And so these two verses teach us where to begin with the rest of the context, I believe. And then we're just going to skip down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." For you were once darkness. A lot of commentators say, hey, he's not saying you were in darkness. He's saying that you were darkness. That's crazy. And you look at the verse, it actually says, "For you were once darkness," not in. Because as Christians, we can sometimes be walking in darkness and still, you know, born again. Sad. But verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So other translations might say in this beginning of the verse, "For you were formerly darkness. For at one time, you were darkness. In the past, you were full of darkness." And so, but look at this, the end of this verse. It says, but now. And so he's telling the church at Ephesus, God's telling me, God's telling you, but now, are you saved? Are you born again? But now, you are light in the Lord. You're a lamp. You know, we know the scriptures, you know. You are light in the Lord. And then look what he says, walk as children of light. So that word walk, I love definitions. That's just what I like. I like to sort of check them out. That word walk, what does it mean? To live, conduct, right? I like this. I found this. Someone said, well, it's kind of interpreted this way a little bit. It says to be occupied with. So be occupied as children of light. Occupy yourself as a child of God. Occupy yourself as a lamp burning for Jesus Christ. Be occupied. Your choices, everything you do. I don't think this is an impossibility in life. For me, I have to be, you know, I'm guilty of, you could say I lack faith, you know, but I think it's just growing up in the Lord, maybe just immaturity, not realizing that I can live and we can live in the fullness of the Lord. We can. Walk as children of light. We tend to focus on maybe things like darkness and, you know, the negative portions of the scriptures, because there might be something in our hearts that are still dark. And that, you know, maybe we're not open to the Lord giving us that encouragement to be light. So we used to be darkness. We used to be sinners. They used to be the church at Ephesus. But he says, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So occupy yourself as a child of God. Your lamp is burning. My lamp is supposed to be burning. I don't feel like it at all times. You know, there's times where I'm like, I don't even know. I feel so unworthy, but we are unworthy. We are. I am. You see, when I think I'm worthy, then my lamp isn't burning. That's the problem. But we have to understand that God does that work. We have to. God's showing me lately, you know, just minister and just take things from the Lord in just a calm state. We tend to get so anxious or so in a rush. You know, God, help me to be this great Christian. Look at me now, you know. And I'm not saying purposely, you know, make it slow, you know. But just be open. Just, you know, the gentleness and the tenderheartedness of the Lord and how he is. Let him minister to you. Let him be that light in your life, you know, calm and just peaceful state that God could just burn in you. He really can. And then just that maybe one or a few people you could just sit and and minister. You know, we get this thing in America. I don't want to knock America because I live here. You know, but I think in American Christianity, this is what happens to us. We fall to what's going on everywhere, the fastness and the bulk and the amounts and, you know, look at all these people I got, God, and, you know, I saved many, you know. It gets too complicated. And then we blow by the people that are just right there. We just blow by. You know, even today, I kind of felt it was not many people in coming in, and, you know, it's cold out, and, you know, your flesh could be like, oh, gosh, you know. But what about us, you know? God wants to speak to all of us. I mean, you know, don't blow by those opportunities to, you know, be that light burning for others. You know, we could love people right here in this room. We're who we are, you know. And so walk, be occupied as this dear child of God. Be occupied with the things of the Lord. And let him burn in you. Burn that passion of that love. You're a dear child of God. And this is what Paul is telling them. I don't think he's telling them, I used to receive this text, my own interpretation, as, you know, just stay away from those who are, you know, not fellowshipping, you know, stay away from those who are just so unfruitful and those kinds of things. But now I'm looking at these verses and seeing that, hey man, I need to be occupied with the things of the Lord. I need to occupy my heart, a burning desire to share with people and love people, true love from Jesus Christ. Let's continue on. Verses 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. But the connection with verse 8 and verse 9, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out. This is an action verb, actually. It's in the present tense. So right at that point, he was telling the church at Ephesus, find out right now. Find out. But for me, finding out sounds a little confusing. I'm like, finding out? What do you mean? We know what the Bible says, what's acceptable to the Lord. You know, it's in the Bible. It's God's word, what God says. He accepts that. He accepts me through Jesus Christ. He accepts you through Jesus Christ. Finding out. The New King James says finding out. The King James says proving. The NASB, it says in this verse, to learn. Or the ESV says, and to try to discern. The meaning to this word in the Greek, finding out, meaning is to test and examine, or to recognize as genuine after examination. So finding out, learning what is acceptable to the Lord. So occupy yourself as children of God. And within that, when you occupy, when you're, you know, your business, you're going about your business in the Lord, you're going to find out some things, and you're going to find out what God accepts, what is pleasing, really. Acceptable, pretty much well-pleasing. What's pleasing to the Lord. It's not that you have to figure it out. Okay, God, it's not in the Bible. Like, you know, what is it, God? It's to learn as you occupy yourself, being this dear child of God. You occupy with those things. You're burning as a lamp. This is how you'll see on display by examination, by testing it, by proving it. Not that you have to prove it to God, but you prove it by applying it. This is how you know what's pleasing to the Lord. Find out. Prove it. But if you don't actually apply the Bible, if you don't actually apply love, you don't try, you don't ask the Holy Spirit, you might be that one not really getting it. You're like, I don't know what's pleasing to the Lord. I try this, I try that. Look, I served there. Look, I did this that day. Look, I gave to the poor that day. I don't know what's going on, God. I need help. But if you're occupied just being that light, that burning lamp, I love that, because God's starting to really minister to me on a different you know, I would say level, you know, immaturity, that we need to just be, you know, letting God just really, truly minister. I've been in prayer, like, for a while, just feeling like, God, I'm so dried up. I feel just so, so dry, you know. And that's kind of how I felt for, like, I mean, I don't know how long. It feels like a year, but I don't think it's a year, but it feels like a year. And then now God, you know, began to show me that he wants to answer those prayers, that he just wants to soften your heart. He just wants to soften my heart. That's all he really wants you to be, soft heart towards him, towards him. And then if you occupy with everything of the Spirit, you'll find out, you'll see, God will prove it to you what really is well-pleasing to him. That's what the scripture says. The focus is a lot always on, you know, the other things, the filthiness. Look, God, they're just so sinful, and, you know, let's rip them out of the church, and, you know, I used to be like that. You know, my family's here. They know, some of them here. You know, I used to be where I just, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to be about it. No. You know, and I was very, very so strict, and there were certain things I just felt like there was just boundaries, and there are boundaries, but there's certain things that I just chose not to do, and I felt like, hey, the scripture says it, you know, don't go near it, you know. And but I didn't realize the fact of the whole context of the Bible. It's, I'm a child of God. You see, there was something that I was hiding behind the scripture. We were supposed to hide behind God's word, but I was doing it in the wrong way. I was doing it like the Pharisee does it, hides behind the scripture. So the Bible says sin, you know, and but the Bible also says love, and the Bible also says, you know, preach. The Bible also says, you know, reach out. You know, the Bible pretty much tells us to, you know, like Jesus. He was about and around all these people that were just taking advantage of him at times. You know, just give me some food, you know, heal me, hurry up, you know. I don't know what they were thinking. You know, we read the words of Jesus, how, you know, how compassionate he was, how loving he was, but we don't know what was truly in some of the hearts. They were just like, gimme, 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 you know. And so I used to hide behind the scriptures, but I think because, and I realize now that I think because I was fighting, there was something, you know, dark in my heart that I didn't want to get, you know, allow God in, so to speak. And so I would hide behind these type of scriptures and be a Pharisee, because that's pretty much what the Pharisees would do. They knew the verses, they knew the scriptures, they knew the scrolls, but they didn't even apply them the right way. They just quoted them and pointed fingers. And so I'm learning here, even in these verses, that we can find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Those things aren't acceptable, you know, being that Pharisee, being judgmental, as we say. We need to still have wisdom and, you know, make certain choices and stay away from certain things, you know, because we don't want to put ourselves in certain situations. But acceptable, again, means well-pleasing or fully agreeable with the Lord. So if I have this heart of a child of God, I'm a dear child of God, I'm loved by God the Father, I'm loved, you're loved by God the Father, we can occupy ourselves, and then we can find out, we can see, we can test, we can examine, we can recognize what's really acceptable to the Lord. And in verse 11, I'll just read these. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's the verse that really, really hurt a lot in Christianity. I don't know about you. I want to, like, in my heart, rebuke that in a sense, where because a lot of people take that so, and they make that so harsh, and it becomes so unholy spirit, and they take it out of context. They really, truly do. A lot of, I have too. Have no fellowship. Fellowship, we know that word, it speaks of intimacy. So don't have intimacy with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. But look at verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So we have a lot of Christians exposing a lot of things, right? But look what they're doing. Look at verse 12. It's shameful even to speak of those things. So they're so occupied with the unfruitful works. Guess what? They're in that sin, I believe. Because they're so, you know, we as Christians, we get so focused on the negative, But look what he says. It's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And I see a lot of the internet, you know, let's expose this, you know, all this stuff. Expose this. Look at his sin. Look at their sin. Look at, you know. And they were like, yeah, you see, that's why I don't like them. And, you know, all this stuff. You see, he's this, he's that. It's true. You know, I know. I'm a person. And you hear it, you know, and everyone gets all worked up, right? Like, yeah, yeah, I'm for him or whatever. And it's like, well, the Bible says, it says, don't speak of it. Because you know what? That means that you're not occupied being a dear child of God. Because we don't need to expose it. If my lamp, if your lamp is burning for Jesus Christ, the light gets turned on. That's it. Why are we so concerned? And again, I had concern because I was hiding. You see, I think that's what happens in our hearts. We want to see these scriptures. You see, this is the reasons why I don't go here. This is the reasons why I stay away from you. This is, you know, and then we burn. I've burnt, and we've burned many, many, many bridges. You know, and I'll have a hard time right now recovering them and rebuilding them. And so, if you're that way, or you're thinking that way, or if you've been like that, or you know, being this Pharisee, you know, I'm going to expose all the sin. And you got like pastors and I don't know, many Christians, maybe popular. I try not to look at it at all, but I used to a little bit because I don't want to be involved, you know. I want to stay occupied with the things of Jesus Christ. But it says in verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. So don't, you don't have to go and, you know, let me like this because this is what I believe is wrong. You know, click, you know, let me like this or whatever. Let me share this with somebody. And then the negative gets dumped on that next Christian. It says in verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. By light. Not by you trying in your flesh or something, or me trying in my flesh to show someone and say, hey, look, look what you're doing. May the Holy Spirit do that with your life. For whatever makes manifest is light. And 14 says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light. Christ, he'll give you light. And so verses 15, 16, and 17 is where we'll just hang out a little bit more. And this will be, you know, sort of brief. These are the verses that I really love here. It says in verse 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I love that. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. The NASB says these verses like this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. ESV says this. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this, in verse 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See, that word see, you know, we can know it's like speaks of the eye, right? I can see. That's in the present and active, and it's imperative. So this is a command that Paul gives to the church at Ephesus, obviously to us. See. To see with the mind's eye, to discern mentally or observe, to discover and understand. I like this, to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing, consider, contemplate, to look or to weigh carefully and examine. So examine what this Paul is going to say. See then that you walk, again, there's that word, it's the same word, you know, conduct, occupy yourself. This is your lifestyle. This is who a Christian should be. It's a commandment. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. That word means exactly or accurately. See then that you walk, your conduct, you know, your occupation is not in your job as a Christian. You know, you're a follower. You're, you know, who you imitate. See then that you walk. So this is a commandment. We're commanded to walk circumspectly, exactly. So it's almost as if he's saying, watch and walk carefully. Conduct yourself very, very cautiously, not in a fearful way, a fear of the Lord way. We take a lot of our time, and sometimes we walk just, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you walk almost blind sometimes. Not physically walking. Because we don't ask the Lord for many things, help with many things. I do that. I'm guilty of that. But Paul is telling us here as a command, you know, it's imperative that you conduct yourselves accurately. Accurately. That's important in the Christian life. You know, for Christians, it gets messy. And then we almost rely on maybe other people's faith, you know, other people's reading of the Bible. You know, that's why a lot of times we can't just come in here and say, hey, I'll just expect Pastor Drew and, you know, others to, you know, you study the Word, and he should study the Word and teach, because that's his calling. But you as a Christian, me as a Christian, we need to be in the Word. Like John Garcia, Pastor John, that was a very good message. It's a good reminder to, you know, rely on God's Word. In Christianity, you could start, you know, you just, I don't know what happens. You know the Word, and so by knowing most of the Word or some of the Word, or you feel like you know the Word a lot, right? And you're like, I've been a Christian, I got it, you know. And your heart starts to close a little bit. And then you go, like they say, you go through the motions. And then you become, your eyes, you know, your spiritual eye is not that discerning anymore. And then you start to not really care too much a little bit. I've went through that a little bit. And you start to want to just, all right, let's just get this over with. Don't go there. Don't go there. It's not worth it. Bible says, walk circumspectly, accurately. Be diligent in your walk with the Lord. Others are watching. These people that, you know, we might be like, hey, look, they're fornicating. You know, they're so covetousness. You know, they got all this uncleanness. They look at them. They're filthy. You know, look, listen to their conversations. Oh, you know, I mean, I don't like those conversations either. It's not like, hey, keep saying it, you know. You know, oh, I want to hear it. You know, I want to close my ears. But we just go home in hatred or in bitterness. You know, not really looking at, observing like in the heart of Jesus Christ, that we need to, I'm loved by God. I'm a child of God. How can I reach out to this person? You know, how can I be around this person and not get that bitter feeling where I just can't wait to get away, you know, and that uncomfortable feeling. Rather, we need to be imitators of God. Imagine Jesus Christ, perfect. I mean, we know that. We say it all the time. He is, he was, and he is now. He is to come, right? Perfect Jesus Christ, perfect man, no sin, but he was around sin. I mean, and he knew the thoughts and intents of the heart. He, you know, the scripture tells us, you know, Jesus knew what they were thinking. Like, how did he do that? You know, imagine that. I mean, he's God. We could say he's Jesus. That's why he did it. He can, you know, he's God, right? But he was baptized by the same Holy Spirit we're baptized with. Ah. How did he do it, though? He was around all that, you know, the conversations that they must have had, you know, talking trash and, you know, the schemes and even Judas, you know, knowing exactly. He's like, go do what you got to do. Hurry up and do it. You know, think about that. And the guy's like, oh, what? I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't know. He's like, no, you know. But just think about it. He knew all that. It's crazy almost. Sounds crazy. But he still was around, and he still, even in communion, he still broke bread. He still said, this blood is shed for you. That's amazing. That's why we're saying amazing love. You know, how can it be? You know, how can it be? But that's what we need to imitate, that. We need to imitate that kind of love. That's very hard. You know, obviously we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do so. But Paul says, see then to the church at Ephesus that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So when we walk, you know, with this blind eye, not walking in the Spirit, not paying attention spiritually, not being watchful like we shared this morning in our prayers, not being serious about the things of God, we become foolish. And then our choices are very, very foolish. That's what I think Paul is saying here. It looks like this is what he's telling the church of Ephesus. Don't focus on those negative things. They are going to be all around you. You need to be a lamp. You need to be a lamp. That's what you're called to do. Hey, Gentile, you know, you're included in the body of Christ. You know, you're with the Jews. You're both Jew, Gentile. That middle separation, it's gone. There's no more, you know, in the temple, they had that wall. All that's gone. It's all gone. The temple's not there now to this day. So let's not be foolish. And then verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. So are the days evil now? Of course they are. But Paul says there's something to do here. You know, walk circumspectly. You know, do things accurately. You know, diligently. Be diligent. And then now he says redeem the time. That word redeem is, it seems to be a little confusing. Maybe. But pretty much we can just say this. To make wise and sacred, I got this from a definition. To make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. Or some said, improve your opportunities. You see, we can't go, obviously we can't go back in time and, you know, let me get that time back and bring it back. And now, look, God, I have 5 years, you know. But redeem the time. Make good use of your time now. You know, don't spend it focusing on these things that we talked about maybe earlier. You know, trying to figure out. That's where I was at for a while. You know, trying to find out how I can better people almost. It gets like that in Christianity. It gets like that. I mean, I'll just be honest, you know. And that's bad. That's sin, actually. It's wrong. Instead of trying to spend my time quality, you know, God help me to be that loving person to whoever it is. Don't let me be picky and choosy, you know. And that's kind of where Christianity gets. And we knock the Pharisees all the time. Oh, that's so bad, you know. But they're in the Bible, I believe. And, you know, Holy Spirit put those words and all those things that we read about the Pharisees, not so we can be like, yeah, man, look at them. They're so bad, right? I'm good. No, it's so we can learn from them not to be like them, right? And I don't want to knock them because, you know, I'm such as some of you, is like the Bible says. That's how I am. We don't want to follow what they do, you know, like Jesus says to, you know, do what they say, but don't do pretty much as they do because they don't do it. It actually says, I believe that says, like, they don't even want to put a finger on what they say for you to do. And so I don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. So redeem the time. Make good use of your time. Now, I'm not saying that I know you're wasting time. I don't know. But I know I, for myself, as a Christian, you can waste time in your thought life. You know, you could spend time really not doing some of the things that really God doesn't want you really to do. And it might not be a straight out sin in itself, but it could lead to a dry and desert place in a bad way. And then you have you're really not full with the Holy Spirit. Instead, you know, let's redeem that time. Let's make use of that time. And I like to look at it this way. Don't give back, you know, what the old, don't give back to the old nature. Don't try to, you know, recreate your old nature or something. Don't try to do that. Redeem the time. So it says redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we know the days are evil, but we're commanded to walk accurately, diligently. redeem this time, make good quality use of our time. You know, what are we supposed to do today? You know, maybe I'm thinking already, you know, oh, I can't wait till this is over, you know, or, you know, we're going to do prayer, you know, those kinds of things. We can think negative. We can think on the positive. I can pray for somebody. I could be there for somebody. I can sit with somebody and try to understand maybe what they're going through. You know, I heard a message from, I listened to, I just clicked it. Just, I sent it to Mike. That's why I'm looking over there. I just clicked it. Yeah, I like, what's his name? What's his name again? Huh? Francis Chan, yeah. He's from, I think, the West Coast. I never really heard of him until recently, but he had a mega church, and he felt like the Lord just was like, get out. You know, I don't know the whole story, but he was just, he had to get out. He was like, I'm just called to pretty much make disciples. I think he just, yeah, it's a really beautiful thing, I think, to hear. And it became like he was Jesus. That's why I think the Lord showed him, not that he's going to be Jesus, but the Lord showed him, it's like, I'm like a Messiah, you know? And he shared, there's some stories about him. He shares in his messages, you know, how it became for him. And so he left the mega church and he decided to do, he goes around, he's like making disciples. I'm not exactly sure what he's doing exactly. But he goes and speaks, and he has messages on, you know, YouTube and that stuff. And he had a message, and I listened to it. It was very good. But in his message, he shared, you know, he's like, I'm praying for you. You know, I don't know the exact words, but it was so beautiful how the Holy Spirit showing him. He's like, you know, I could share these messages with them, and I can, you know, teach them the Bible. I can do these things. But he's like, God, do I love them? You know, do I love them? And I like what the Holy Spirit is doing in his life. I think he's real sincere in that too, is that we can just, you know, do Christianity like today or in any church. And we can, you know, check in and check out and then, you know, not really, you know, come down to someone's level and try to, it's not to put anyone down. It's just to try to understand, you know, where that person is at. I don't know what they do when they go home. I don't know what it's like when you go home, you know, what you feel, what you go home to, or what others might go home to, or others that come in, you know. But we want to feel that I think God's teaching me, I want to feel that pain of someone else so I can understand and, like, minister that way. And so God's teaching me here, even in these verses too, that, you know, make that time worth it. You know, make that time worth it. You know, don't rush. Don't rush in your mind, anxious. I got to do this today, and tomorrow's work. Blah, 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 you know, we get like that. You know, but we know what the scripture says. It's like tomorrow is not promised. You know, is that true, or do we just say it? And in our hearts, we're like, yeah, but I'm focused on tomorrow, right? That's what happens. But we need to make use of the time today, right now, today. I mean, if you got to go, you go. But what I'm saying is, as we're here, as the body, let's, you know, redeem the time. Let's make good use of this time. Let's understand each other. Let's pray for one another. Let's be watchful. Let's be serious in our prayers. And in verse 17, and we'll close too, it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Who understands what the will of the Lord is here? Wow. Yay. 1, 2. Eric does. Yay. Man, Eric is double my age. Wow. He lived long, man. That's good. Redeem the time. And so, verse 17. So, let's not be unwise. Let's not be foolish. But he says to understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, that it's so interesting. I looked at the Making Disciples booklet, and the next session, I didn't even realize, is how to know the will of God. I think it's that. And I'm like, oh, isn't that funny? I'm like, let me cheat and look. What does he say? What is the will? You know? But I think because we laugh and we, you know, we might think it's funny and everything, but I think why we feel like that is we don't really know exactly a lot of time what the will of the Lord is for our life. I'm not saying that to you specifically, but even in my own life, you know, do I know what the will of the Lord is? He says to understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't waste time. What are you doing? You know, I'm almost 40. I mean, to me, I'm getting old, okay? So, well, because I was young and now I'm getting old. What am I supposed to say? I'm almost 40. I'm 39 and a half, right? I don't care, you know? But, yeah, but thinking about that and thinking about, you know, forgive me, like people passing away sort of around me, so to speak. And you know what? It's like, you don't waste your time. And that's why, you know, the theme in this passage, it's, you know, walk accurately, you know, redeem the time, you know, make use of who you are in Christ. You're in Jesus Christ. You're this new creation. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. We waste time on the things that we really shouldn't at times. We waste time. How do we redeem the time? How do we understand what the will of the Lord is? The will of the Lord. That word will, meaning we probably know. You could look it up, like desire. What God desires. We know. Some of, if you look, if you do like a search for the will of the Lord, it is a couple of verses actually. I could just shout them to you. It says 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God." You know, if you look up that statement, you can search anything now. It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In everything give thanks, this is the will of God. It sounds so simple. But maybe we tend to not give thanks. Maybe we, like in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, maybe we don't focus on our sanctification with the Lord. That's the will of God. 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So do good. Do good. We want to silence people by doing bad, right? I'll get you back. Watch. You know. But it says, this is the will of God, that you do good. You guys know the story of the parable of the talents, right? The guy goes, the five and the two, and you know, it's in Matthew and Luke. And that kind of speaks to the same context. You know, don't waste time. You know, utilize what God's given you. He's given you five. You know, don't just hide it or whatever. You know, bury it somewhere. Like, look, I saved it for 50 years. You know, my gifts, my talents, things that God actually, you know, we know, we can sum it up this way. You're created by God. I'm created by God. So he gave you everything that you got, right? I'll just put it bluntly. Whatever talent that's in you or whatever gift he's given you, that's all for the glory of Jesus Christ. So in that same place that we need to utilize that, don't waste your time. You know, some of us, we waste our like time, treasure, and talents in many other things. But what is the will, you might ask in application, you know, ask the Lord. You know, first the Lord, ask the Lord to help us to focus on his light in us and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Well, let's ask the Lord also to, you know, what is pleasing in your sight? You know, help me to, like, prove what the Scripture says, to prove what's acceptable to the Lord. And help me to find out what's acceptable to you. Also, God, help me to, you know, stop wasting time. This is my prayer. You know, it's his time, actually. It's his time. With the things that really have no value in eternity. They really don't, the things, some of the things. And help me not to be foolish with my time. It's pretty simple, is what the Scripture's telling us. And number four I have here, that was like five things. Help me to utilize my time spent on earth as best to my ability in you, Jesus Christ. Also, help me to take steps of faith. Maybe I should go to a brother or sister today. Ask them if they want prayer. Or maybe, we'll take it in our context, maybe we should reach out to them during the week, calling them or texting them. We like doing that, right? Let me just send them a text. I don't feel like calling them right now. But those little things, though, you'd be surprised. And we don't want to get Christianese and legalistic and whatever, but you'd be surprised. Those, you know, phone calls of encouragement. Actually, sometimes those are hard to do. Those are hard to do. In your flesh, you're just like, nah, maybe not now. But I learned that even by doing it with some, that it encourages others. It really does. And so I could utilize my time. You could utilize your time by, you know, sharing. You know, how can I pray for you today, this morning, you know? Or share, you know, God showed me this morning. You know, maybe this will encourage you. You know, be Christians. Let's be Christians. Or even further, maybe I should invite them over to share a meal. Whoa. We'll never do that, right? God, not me. They do that. They have a bigger home. They have a backyard. That's why, God, I don't want to do it. They barbecue. I don't have a barbecue. I mean, those are excuses. I'm not saying you guys are saying that, but those are some of the excuses in my own heart, too. It's like, oh, I don't have enough space, or, yeah, the kitchen's too small, or, you know, yeah, one bathroom, you know. I don't know. But maybe we should, you know, do those kinds of things. That's Christianity. I was sharing earlier today, it's in the book of Acts, man. It seems like that's what they did. They just, hey, you can sleep here and, you know, I don't know, go on the floor. I don't know what they did. Take my bed. And, you know, I don't know what they did, but it doesn't seem like they had those issues, you know. Maybe some did, but where did they stay when they got saved? They had nowhere to go. Like, we just received the Messiah. I don't know. I'm not going back home because, I don't know what's there. I'd rather stay here with you guys, you know. So maybe we should, you know, do these kinds of things. That's what God's speaking to me about. You know, try those things. You know, have more invites and be hospitable, you know. You know, love a stranger, you know. We tend to say, wait until I get a mansion, God, you know, and, you know, wait until I have more food in the fridge, or, you know, I gotta have certain things in line in order to, you know, invite a brother or sister over just to chill out with them. It doesn't have to be like that. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. It's a good scripture. And number 5 I put on my list, and Lord, guide my heart and help my mind to understand what your specific will is in my life. Some might say, I know I'm saved, but I don't know what to do next. Or what can I do for the Lord? So we need to pray today, asking the Lord to help us to understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I think that's a really good prayer for all of us. You know, we're going to go through that in one of the sessions in the discipleship group. You know, I, as a Christian, and maybe you're the same, I can't answer that all the time. You know, do I know that what the will of the Lord is for my life, you know? But we know, like the scripture says, you know, in plenty of places about the gifts, you know, being part of the fellowship. Those are the things that God is desiring for us. That's his will, that we do this. Teaching, you know, worship, hang out with each other, you know, love one another. Those are the things. Those are part of what the will of the Lord is. But then even more specifically, what does God actually really want me to do specifically? God, where is my calling? You know, I heard that a lot in Bible college. Where are you called to? You know, it's like Africa, you know? Right? Like, I'm going down to, what's that, Australia, you know? It's like, really? You like the weather, right? Nah, I don't know. But, you know, we always like, I got to go somewhere else. Forget the people right here. You know, everybody was going somewhere. And then there was not that much love on the campus, you know. And I was guilty of that, too, because I was a Pharisee. What are you doing? What are you doing in the dorm? You know, let me check your dorm out. And so we got to understand what the will of the Lord is. I found out that coming here, yeah, I was disobedient in a lot of things, still am sometimes. But coming back to New York, I had no. We went to move to Missouri to go to college, me and my wife, and I did just didn't want to come back to New York. I was like, it's where I got messed up. That's where I did drugs. I just don't want to go back there. I just didn't want to come back here. I just didn't like it. It's too expensive. It was a waste. All this stuff, you know, and we didn't. We were just looking for places out there. I'm getting a job out there. And then it's probably by the will of the Lord that I came back here, because I really didn't want to come back here, and Andrea didn't want it either. But then I found this, you know, say little fellowship, this little place here through my sister Laura. She's back there. You know, Google Calvary Chapel, you know. That's what I told her, right? Google it, and she found it. Yes, thank you, Google. Really, thank you, God, right? Forget Google. So, you know, find out what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes you know, you're disobedient and you go through stuff and, you know, God has to show you. But for me, this is part of what now I can see somewhat of my calling, that I need to be here with you guys. So I was disobedient, though. I wasn't obedient. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. And so let's pray today, though, that we'd be not unwise, we won't be foolish, but we would understand what the will of the Lord is. Let me just read these last couple of verses. And verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That must have been weird for them to even think about that, because in the church of Ephesus and all over the place, in pagans, they had like festivals, drinking wine, sacrificing idols, meats, all crazy stuff. But look what Paul says, psalms and hymns, you know, it must have been so radically different, right? And it reminds me of, you know, the music I used to listen to in the car, the bass, you know. Like, yeah, I love this track, you know. And then now it's like, you know, how great is our God, you know. It's just such a different thing. It's so crazy, you know. It's a beautiful thing, though, how the Lord does that conversion in your life. So praise the Lord. And that's what Paul was saying, you know, let's love each other. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, we just pray that we won't waste time, God. Help us to spend the time, quality time, even with each other here today, God. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me, God, for I waste a lot of time in my mind, Lord, in my heart. God, help us to have this love. We're dear children, God. We're beloved by the Father in heaven, God. You love us. You look upon us through Jesus Christ, and you say that you're well pleased with us, God. God, continue to heal us, I pray. It's beautiful to be healed in Jesus Christ, God. We need that. Help us to tap into our emotions, too, God, that you've created. Help us today, God. And we just pray that we would all understand what the will of the Lord is in our lives, God. Help us, God, not to run from what you're calling us to do today, God. Be with us, God. Continue to work in us, God. Help our fellowship time, Lord. Help us to stay and hang around and just pray for one another and be real with each other, God, today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate it.